So today's scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. Again, John, chapter 20, 19 to 31. Verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put them into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So I'll pass the time over to Pastor Vincent.
Is that a familiar sight? Well, if you watch all those videos from Facebook or maybe at the news, probably see somewhere in this whole world, in Asia, lots of people wearing similar hard hat. Well, the reason I put it here is that I'm in a different, other than OMF that I'm working, I'm serving, I put another hat. I'm wearing double hat. So you might not recognize with this logo. But then for the seafarers, the seamen or sailors, once I wear this hard hat and they recognize this, they know where I came from. I'm right now as a port chaplain of Port of Vancouver. And then the other main job is that I'm still with OMF. And then part of the other main job is that I'm, this logo is represent Flying Angel Club. We have this ministry for 163 years, start out from London, UK. And then it covers 200 ports in the whole world. So if anyone who are seafarers, they certainly recognize by this. And then most of them, they will appreciate what this ministry in the Port of Vancouver, at the waterfront, next to the Canada Place, where all those container cargo, bulk cargo, that sometimes you might see it, We provide just a space for the seafarers to rest, and most important thing is that to have free Wi-Fi. So that, yeah, this is the another hat that I'm wearing. Thank you for the invitation, and then I'll be able to speak again this morning. And then before I get into the sermon, I really would like to read again in a different pace of the scripture that I base on. If the tech person, could you put up again for the scripture reading that we just have? Could we read it again? And then I'm reading with the NIV version. Is that on? We'll wait a little bit. Oh, almost. Oh, great. Oh, now I see that there is a little hidden monitor here. Great. Not little, right? So Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. I'm reading from the NIV version. On the evening of that first day of the week, that's the Easter Sunday, when the disciples were together, were the doors locked for fear of the Jews. It's not one door. You know, in the NIV version here is plural, the doors. Their fear of the Jews, religious leader, fear that they will, just like Jesus as their master, as their teacher, that put to death on the cross. So Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and thighs. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Verse 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In other version is, "Welcome the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone has sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12 that was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail mark in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand on his side, into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, they're still afraid. They still fear of the Jews, religious leaders. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my thighs. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting." Or other translation will say, "Stop unbelieving and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Is that you and I? We never see Jesus face to face, but we still believe him as my Lord and my God. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is such a wonderful passage. I mean, usually preachers will pick this passage as the Easter Sunday passage. The reason why I picked this up is that I have the two images within the scripture is that fear. The foreign saying, I would like to have the tech team to mute it because it's kind of sensitive, and I hope the congregation will agree and accept this. We come back to this scripture. In Gospel of John chapter 20, all these disciples, they are fear of the Jewish leaders that they might be one by one captured and then put it on the cross. That's why they gather together, they lock themselves up in probably multiple doors. That's why even in English, the Bible that translated from Greek is the doors in plural, locked for fear of the Jewish leader. And then at that point, even the door is locked, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." You know, sometimes we thought that peace be with you, you know, we are not the high church, you know, for the Anglican, for the some of the, you know, Lutheran. I mean, those are the churches keen on rituals, keen on clergies, that, you know, the preacher was, I mean, the pastor always said that peace be with you. No, that's not that kind of peace. Peace in here is actually represented by a Hebrew word. Shalom. What shalom means is that the deep sense of the peace. Shalom, in a sense, is that all through Old Testament, shalom is that God be with you. And that shalom sense is meant for the wholeness, completeness, health, safety, prosperity, and carrying with it the implication of permanency. Jews, they are very valuable for the shalom, the peace that God granted to them. And they are all Jews. They understand that. So when they realize that Jesus is stood among them, and then Jesus even showed them the nail marks, the size of of his body, and what is their response? They are overjoyed. You know what? In the rest of the Gospels, I mean the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, for all these disciples, they probably don't have an idea that Jesus would resurrect, come to life again. In their mindset is that once Jesus was arrested, they fled. Right? Even Jesus is on trial. They are just kind of keep Jesus in the distance. Remember what Peter said? I don't recognize him. I'm not in that group. Denial. But when they find out that Jesus is stood among them, and Jesus offered them, peace be with you. They all of a sudden remember what Jesus before the arrest, Jesus offered his peace be with all of them. And Jesus even prophesied, saying that you will be mourned, but after that you will overjoy. With the peace be with you two times. Jesus is have a very special gesture here. Seeing this is what we call it a commission statement. Jesus said, as the Father, not Master, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. Jesus is actually telling his disciples that, you know what? I came to this world. Live as a human being. Trial. Sentenced to death. Crucified on the cross. This is my mission. This is the mission that my Father sent me. And I am sending you. Jesus said, and I am sending you. Does it mean that we all have to die? Not necessary. But Jesus promised elsewhere in the gospel, saying that we'll have trials, tribulations in the world. As we come to verse 22, we see this beautiful image. There's only one usage in the entire New Testament, is that Jesus said, breathe unto them and tell them to receive Holy Spirit. You could read the entire New Testament. This is the only one time using this word. But in Old Testament, that's been many, many times. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, then the Lord God created a man, Adam, from the dust of the ground and breathed unto Adam the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And then when we read on, book of Ezekiel chapter 37, you probably know, those grew up in the church, remember the dry bones prophecies. We even sing the songs, you know, the bones come to bones and then like that. The Lord said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breathe from the four winds and breath into this slain and they may live. This is the breath of life. Receive or welcome the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, the following is that if you forgive anyone's sin, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. I want you to focus on verse 19b and then 26b. Here the scripture, the text mentioned, Jesus came and stood among them. Remember, the doors were locked. This is such a miracle, right? The doors were locked and Jesus all of a sudden, hey, how come you're here? Not Andrew, Not teamwork. Not Justin. Jesus. Jesus is just came and stood among them. In their midst. Jesus centered in our midst. Jesus actually is always with us. Jesus never leaves us. Always in the midst of the Christian bodies. Over and over again in Book of Acts, you know, somewhere in chapter 4, when we pray, we are in one accord. Jesus always in the center. When we worship him in the last book of the New Testament in Revelation, there are at least two places in chapter 5 and chapter 7 that Jesus is in the throne, and that sense is actually center of the throne. When we meet as a Christian community, as the Christian body, Jesus always the center. Well, this group of disciples, they were afraid of the Jewish leader. They are afraid of their life being threatened. So they locked themselves up and gather, maybe praying, maybe discussing, maybe looking into logistics, what we are going to do for the rest of our lives. And then Jesus came and stood among them. Jesus offered the resurrected body to them, and then they find out that, wow, this is the risen Lord. They are overjoyed. And even two times that Jesus offered them shalom, peace be with you. But someone missed out. Who's that? Thomas. Thomas was not there. He was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Thomas is actually looking for the tangible evidence in order to believe the risen Lord. So in verse 26, a week later, his disciples were in the house again. And Thomas, this time, was with them. Though the doors were locked again, Jesus came and stood among them and said the third time, "Peace be with you. Shalom be with you." Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and get into my side. Check it up. Stop doubting. Stop not believing and believe." Jesus is always in our midst. He is there when Thomas asks for the tangible proof of seeing the nail marks, putting his hand into Jesus' side. See what Jesus said to Thomas. "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting. Stop not believing and believe." Jesus is there when Thomas made his demand. Therefore, Thomas replied to Jesus. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." This is such a great confession of faith. "My Lord and my God" is actually it's not what we today say, "Oh my God." This "Oh my God" is just an exclamation. But my Lord and my God is the clearest declaration of Jesus' deity. He is really God. And in this text, we see that both Jesus' humility, he had wounds in his body, signs of suffering, and his death, and his physicality, that he rose with a physical body. At the same time, Thomas addressed my Lord and my God to Jesus. This is such powerful confession. We saw that we read it in English. But actually, this is really deep rooted Hebrew sense. My Lord, Yahweh, the God of Old Testament. And my God, Elohim, the God. Two major Old Testament images. The Roman Empire at that time, Domitian. His reign is in between 81 to 96 AD. Domitian demands his subjects to address him as Dominus et Deus Noster, our Lord and God. He was the one that heavily persecuted Christians and Jews. Well, to Thomas, no. Not Domitian, but Jesus as my Lord and my God. So there is a common consensus that Gospel of John ended here. Remember how Apostle John write this first chapter of Gospel of John? He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then for writing, you know, writing style, that beginning like that ended similar. So there's a common consensus all through the history, seeing that Gospel of John is ended here. The Thomas declaration of faith, confession of faith, my Lord and my God. And then later on, we see the chapter 21 is probably John's write something more and become an appendix and added in the later times. How about Thomas? Thomas always had a bad reputation. What did church always see, treat him or call him? Thomas the doubter. Doubting Thomas. So the young family, when you have kids, if you call your name as Thomas, check it up. This doubting Thomas, in fact, eventually become a great missionary. According to the church history, he headed east and end up in India, and even martyr in Chennai, India, in the east coast. The ancient Indian Christian church still claimed that Thomas brought the gospel of Jesus to India. Jesus told Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. A great assurance and blessings of those live by faith and not by sight. So the purpose of John's gospel, there's a quite interesting commentator suggests that the purpose of John's gospel is John introduced a live person by only telling us briefly. John is actually introduced Jesus to each one of us by just telling a little bit about Jesus in his gospel. In the Gospel of John, probably in the Bible studies that you went through, the first part of Gospel of John, from chapter 1 to 12, people say that this is a book of signs. Or even say that Gospel of John is contained of seven signs of Jesus. The first signs, naturally, is the at Cana, turning water to wine. And then the last signs will be the rising of Lazarus from the dead. That is a very quite interesting in a sense is that John only mentioned a little bit about Jesus. You know, usually when we record a dead prophet, we try to include as much information as we could, right? When you read the book of Isaiah reigned, he lived from this dynasty to that, and then so on and so forth, how long did he serve as a spokesperson of God? But then, if we introduce a live person, we usually just briefly, just like when I were invited to a church to speak, probably people will say that, oh, we welcome Vincent Ng, serve in OMF, and then we welcome here, speak again. Vincent, would you come up? Right? For a person with life, you won't say that, he born in 2001 and then so and so forth and then become pastors. Won't say that. Jesus, Apostle John wants us to meet Jesus personally. Therefore, the purpose statement of Gospel of John is in 31st. Verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. Remember what Jesus told Thomas? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Such an assurance for everyone. Not only John encouraged us like this, or even Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, saying that we live by faith, not by sight. And for Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. We come back to the joy. The disciples once were fear, but were overjoyed when they met Jesus. And we can be overjoyed. Back to the Hong Kong situation. No matter they are the Valiant or the PRNN, they all experienced fear. I think the only way to conquer fear is to invite Jesus in our midst and let the peace, shalom, of God that drive away all the fear that trouble us. I hope in this congregation there isn't any pro-China people here. Why I pick up this passage is to try to encourage each one of you. You might not have strong ties with Hong Kong, or you might not even have any ties with Hong Kong. But as a Christian body, I do encourage you to pray for that place. Pray for Hong Kong. One of our colleagues in our organization came back from Hong Kong, saying that because of this incident, churches in Hong Kong are being split up. Churches in Hong Kong are being split up. People stop going to church because of different opinions within the congregation. I think fear is one thing, but the other thing is that we've got to unite our spirit. We're here, we don't have any engage of the troubles except the time that, you know, in the Canby station and in Broadway. But if we could, I encourage you, do pray for Hong Kong. May the peace of the Lord not only be with us, but also in that place. May God bless you all.